Good morning. Welcome, everybody. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask for your guidance and your direction in our lives. We pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding, and that you would keep us from the deception that's in the world today. And strengthen us as we walk in the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to start in Job chapter 13. Last week you guys read chapter 12, and one of the things that stood out, one of the things that I noticed in chapter 12 that stood out to me was where it speaks of God, where Job speaks of God leading nations astray and destroying them. In verse 23, he says, talking about God leading nations astray and destroying them, he overthrows the nations and leads them away. He changes the hearts of rulers and leads them astray, that they may grope in darkness, at the very end, and go astray like a drunken man. And that, it was... goes right along with a number of other admonitions and warnings throughout the New Testament. It made me think of in Romans where it says, because they did not retain God in their knowledge, he gave them over to a strong delusion. And also in Thessalonians where it says, because they received not a love of the truth, God gave them over to believe a lie. And one of the things that was brought out in the message last night was how the deception that's coming upon the world in the last days is part of the plagues in Revelation to deceive the nations, entire nations, and lead people astray because they received not a love of the truth. Let's start in chapter 13 now. And Job, referring to what he just spoke of, what we just mentioned, starts out saying, behold, my eye has seen all these things, and my ear has heard them. What you know, I also know. I am not of lesser understanding than you. Nevertheless, I speak to the Lord, and will reason before him if he wills. For you are all dishonest physicians and healers of diseases. But would that you were silent, for it would lead you to wisdom. Hear the conviction of my mouth, and heed the judgment of my lips. Do you not speak before the Lord and utter deceit before him? Will you draw back? But you yourselves be judges. Would it be well for you if he searched you out? For if you make every effort to join yourselves to him, he will surely rebuke you if you also secretly show favoritism. Will not his terror make you dizzy and his fear fall upon you? In the end, your insolence will go away like ashes and your body like clay. Be silent that I may speak and put my anger to rest. So I will take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in my hand. Though the Mighty One should lay his hand upon me, and he already has begun, I will speak and reason before him. This will turn for me into salvation, for there shall be no deceit before him. Listen, listen to my words, for I will report them in your hearing. Behold, I am near my judgment. I know I shall appear righteous. Who is he that will judge me, that I would now be silent and be wanting? Before we go on, there's one thing I want to make note of here. And these two chapters, Job is dealing with a situation where, because he was righteous and in the battle and walking in light, Satan attacked him. And his friends, who weren't in that position, were able to sit back at a distance and point the finger at him and come up with all kinds of criticisms and accusations. And Job here is asking them, what would happen? What would happen if he searched you out? Would it be well for you if he searched you out? And this has been a point that's repeated in these two chapters, that those who decide to walk in the light and follow the Lord are the ones who are going to face the battle. And those who aren't, it's really easy for them to sit back and look and watch and find all kinds of faults and criticisms. And Job says, "Be silent that I may speak." And he begins to pray to the Lord in verse 20. And he starts out by saying, "Grant me two things." Now, just want you to be thinking or looking for the two things that Job specifically asked for here in his prayer to God. He says, "Grant me two things, then I will not hide my face from you. Withdraw your hand far from me, and let not the fear of you terrify me. Then you will call, and I will obey you. Or you will speak, then I will give you an answer. How many are my sins and transgressions? Teach me what they are. Why do you hide yourself from me and regard me as your enemy? Will you take heed of me as a leaf shaken by the wind? Or will you set yourself against me as grass blown by the wind? For you wrote evil things against me and compassed me with the sins of my youth. You have put my foot in the stocks, have watched all my works, and have penetrated into the roots of my feet, which has become like old like a wineskin, or like a moth-eaten garment." Who can tell me the two things that Job asked God to grant him in this prayer? One of the things? Anybody? Here's a man tormented and afflicted, and he just has two things that he's going to ask God for. And this whole, and up until this point, Job hasn't asked for anything, and here he just requests two things. I would think they would be pretty important. We'll read it one more time and see if somebody can at least tell me one of them. "Grant me two things, then I will not hide my face from you. Withdraw your hand far from me, and let not the fear of you terrify me. Then you will call, and I will obey you. Or you will speak, and I will give you an answer. How many are my sins and transgressions? Teach me what they are. Why do you hide yourself from me, and regard me as your enemy? Will you take heed of me as a leaf shaken by the wind? Or will you set yourself against me as grass blown by the wind? For you wrote evil things against me, and compassed me with the sins of my youth. You have put my foot in the stocks and have watched all my works, and have penetrated into the roots of my feet, which have become old like a wineskin, or like a moth-eaten garment." Arthur, what was one of the things that Job asked God to grant him? Mari?
If God would tell him what his sins were.
That's right. That was one of the things that What was the? That's right. What was the first thing? Did you find that too, Maury?
Yeah.
What was that?
Withdraw his hand from.
Uh huh. Job was very aware in the chapter we read before about how God leads men astray, how God leads nations astray and destroys them. Job knew that there was a danger of deception. And one of the things that he was asking for was, how many are my sins and transgressions? Teach me what they are. One of the things that we've understood clearly is that God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and presently. And God's grace warns us not to be deceived. And here we are seeing how aware that Job was of this. And that was one of the things that he pleaded most fervently for from God, was to show him what he was doing wrong, what he needed to do different. Last night we were out preaching and Nolan had a sign that said, "God's grace exposes sins." And a man came up and he argued with us for about a half an hour. First of all, he asked Olin what God's grace was. And Olin said, "God teaches," and the man said, "No." And he didn't let Olin finish even speaking. And he just started telling us how that every single thought we have basically is a sin. He didn't even want to consider grace being something that teaches us anything. We see this deception all around us. And we should be aware, like Job was, and plead with God that God would show us, that God would teach us what it is that we need to do, what it is that we're doing wrong, if we're doing something wrong. Okay, let's do the memory verses. I wasn't here last Sunday morning. What verses are, what is it that we're...
It's the last days.
Okay. We'll just start and go around.
Luke 21:10. Then he continued by saying to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes and in various places there will be plagues and famines and great signs from heaven."
Marty? Go ahead, Mark.
1 John 2:18. "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time."
Matthew 24:11-12. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity abounds, shall abound the love of many shall wax cold."
Second Peter 3:13, "But according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth, in which righteousness is at home."
heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day will come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
2 Timothy 3:1-4. But you know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
Acts 2:17-21. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth, beneath blood and fire and fire and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and noble day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on him, or call on the name of the Lord, shall be saved.
3:12. The souls will eagerly desire the coming of the day of God.
2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days the perilous time shall come.
21:36. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape what is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust.
Matthew 24:6. You shall hear wars and rumors of wars.
Matthew 24:30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Mark 13:33. Take heed, watch and pray, for he is there now in his time.
Matthew 24:50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour he is not aware of.
2 Peter 3:11. Therefore, as all these things shall be destroyed, but kind people shall do the work of living in godliness.
Matthew 24:7. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places.
Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall do great signs and wonders, insomuch that it were possible they shall receive the very end.
shall it come.
Okay, for next week, something kind of goes along with these thoughts is verses that warn against being deceived. Okay, you're dismissed.